Mind Matters, a one-hour programme that shares all things psychology. Mind Matters will host a variety of guests, from neuropsychologists and prison psychologists to those with lived experience of mental health challenges. We aim to share knowledge and experience, encourage interesting dialogue and reduce stigma. Join us on Monday evenings from 6 to 7pm on 3CR 855am. Hello and welcome to another episode of Mind Matters on 3CR 855am, 3CR digital and online at 3cr.org.au. My name is Kirsty and I'll be your host this evening. Tonight I'll be talking to Galbo Hadana, who has graduated from Griffith University on the Gold Coast with a Bachelor in Psychology with Honours. She's currently doing her PhD at Griffith. Her area of interest is autism spectrum disorder, and she is conducting research on understanding the factors that influence the well-being of parents of children with autism. She has experience working as a research assistant and has worked on multiple projects, including a programme evaluation at schools and completing a systematic review. She has also worked as a sessional instructor at Griffith. Thank you for coming in tonight, Gal.
Thank you for having me.
I thought we could begin by you just broadly defining what autism is.
Yeah, so autism basically is an individual with autism basically has impairment in social communication and interaction. So, also it's characterized by repetitive and restrictive behavior, interests, or activities as well. And about, I think the statistics now is 1 in 59 people actually have the disorder.
Yeah.
And I think it's maybe 0.74% of individuals in Australia under the age of 7 are diagnosed with autism.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is it mainly younger children that have autism or...?
No, so that's a misconception. They do get diagnosed, you know, if the parents kind of see kind of signs or symptoms, they will get diagnosed earlier on, but it is lifelong. So any person, you can be diagnosed at any age. It's not something that only children have and then you grow out of it. It is lifelong.
Okay. Yeah. What are some other common misconceptions?
Some common misconceptions, I would say things like that vaccinations cause autism. That's just not true. That's not the case. There's no scientific evidence to back up that statement. I think a lot of parents are, seduced by that, just having that one reason, that one solution, that this is what caused my child's autism. But it's not the case. It's not very clear what causes it to this day, but it's mainly just an interaction of genes and the environment as opposed to just this one factor, which is vaccinations. So that's a very common misconception.
Mm.
Some other common misconceptions, that it's due to bad parenting. It's just a very inconsistent misconception. Yeah, like I said before, that it's curable. It's not curable. There are interventions that can assist with managing it and teaching children and adults the skills that they need to succeed and to be, functional members of society, but it is lifelong. It is not curable.
Can the severity of it be reduced, or it's just...
So symptom severity does tend to be more fixed depending on the symptoms, but the challenging behaviours are more likely to be susceptible to change. So, but you can reduce the symptoms for sure. So through early intervention, it's very important. Early intervention is very important because it's a lot harder. So just for any person, when you establish a pattern of behavior, it's very, very difficult to then reverse that than it is to just learn it the right way from the beginning.
Yeah, and catch it early.
Exactly. So early intervention is so important to help them develop the skills that they need from the beginning, instead of trying to reverse unhelpful behaviors that they've learnt because they didn't get that early intervention.
And what are some of those early intervention methods?
There's lots of different methods. Some are, you know, backed up by research. Some are less so backed up by research, you know, more, I guess, kind of holistic, you know, the oils and all of that. And it, some people claim it works, some don't. There's less research to actually back up those methods. There's ABA, so it's applied behavior analysis, which is what I've started off doing. So it's based and it's rooted in kind of, I guess, behavioral theories. So that's what I've started off doing when I was studying at doing my undergrad, actually. That's when I've started doing that.
So is that how you kind of became interested in working with autistic children through this role, or did you have an interest in it before?
Yeah, so I actually didn't really, I wasn't even aware of this world until I guess, stumbled across this this opportunity when I was in third year studying my psychology degree, my bachelor in psychology. When I was in third year, I stumbled across this opportunity. I think it was in one of my lectures. You know, we got an email saying, you know, if you're interested, this family is looking for people to come on board, work with their son. And I was interested in doing that. So I guess, applied and I got the job. So it was actually working with an older individual, not an older, but not a kid. So he was in his 20s. And I started working with them, and then I had to go away. I went away overseas. And she actually said, you know, I think you'll also be suitable to work with kids. And so she connected me with this family that was looking for a behavior therapist for their kid who has just been diagnosed. So he was 3 years old at the time, nonverbal, so doesn't speak at all. So it's also important to point out that autism, it's on a spectrum, so it's no longer just in categories. It is a spectrum, and the individuals can, like, individual symptoms vary widely. You know, you can have a nonverbal child with you know, quite severe symptoms and very challenging behaviors, and you can have someone that will be sitting next to you and you have no idea that they even have any challenges. So very, very wide spectrum. So I started working with this family, and through working with the family, I realized, you know, this is way bigger than what we understand. It's not just about this child. It's about the whole family system and the parents. And this doesn't just impact the child. It impacts everyone that is involved in the child's life. It impacts the community in a sense as well. So that's got me really, really interested in obviously continuing to do what I'm doing, but also go a bit further and kind of study and look at the families as part of my PhD. So I guess in terms of some of, like, it wasn't all, you know, I loved it, I loved doing it, but it's not all you know, happy, and there are some challenges associated with this role, and the main one was, you know, you have, the main one would be that you take, you know, 2 steps forwards and then you can take 10 steps back. So you see an improvement in the behavior and then you see it coming back full force, you know, 2 days later, and you're like, oh, what am I doing wrong? But also just the fact that, you know, your finishing, you know, your shift, I suppose, for the day, and then you're leaving, and, you know, this family continues with this, you know, with this little person in their life that's, you know, may create some tension and some additional stress, and you're just going home and you realize this is so much bigger than you think it is, and this is impacting multiple people. And that's, again, that's what made me want to, you know, not take a shift from the child, but just take a slight, you know, like just open up another avenue and look at families and their well-being and understand that a little bit better.
Yeah. I'll take the opportunity now to go on a short break. So you're listening to Mind Matters on 3CR 855 AM, and we're talking to Galbo Hadana from Griffith University on the Gold Coast, and we're talking about autism spectrum disorder. The song that you're about to listen to is Blue Lights by Georgia Smith. We'll see you soon.
Even the fuss, but the face on your boy casts a darker picture of the red-handed act. He's gonna whisper, "Love, blood, I'm sorry, cause I know you got my back." He was running, I couldn't think, I had to get out of that. Not long ago, you were miming to the shook ones. Now this really is part two, cause you're the shook one.
Hands in the tool, is it question your friendship as men like you? Gonna make me a convict, devil of a fellow, and I've done nothing wrong. Love on my hands, but I don't know where it's from. No.
I'm struggling with my mental health.
I'm concerned about my loved one and need support for myself.
I need someone to speak to, but I don't want to burden my family and friends. The experience of mental illness can be emotional, challenging, and isolating, but you don't have to go through it alone.
Hello, Helpline.
Helpline is an information, support, and referral service. Our trained volunteers all have a personal experience of mental illness and are here to listen, understand, and help. Our service is free, confidential, and you can call us from Monday to Friday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. If you have a mental illness, know someone who does, or just need someone to speak to, call Helpline on 8486 4222. That's 8486 4222.
My fellowship is a 3CR supporter.
When the last hour of your day rolls in.
Tune into 3CR from December 21 to January 17 for summer programming for a great selection of community radio treats and an eclectic range of summer specials. You'll hear highlights from 3CR's unique Beyond the Bars 2015, documentaries and current affairs, historical reflections on HIV campaigning, and one-off specials like the David Bowie fan retrospective. Language programs such as The Voice of West Papua, Focus on Palestine, and Summer of Greek Resistance will run throughout the season. And don't forget music specials, The Reggae Groove, The Raven's Lair, Music is My Radar, Wayward Girls, Wicked Women, and Gaelic music on New Year's Eve. Visit 3cr.org.au/summer specials for a full schedule. There's still plenty of reasons to stay tuned to 3CR over summer.
The song that you were just listening to was Blue Lights by Georgia Smith. This is Mind Matters on 3CR 855 AM, a one-hour programme on all things psychology. We're back in the studio talking to Gal Bohadana from Griffith University on the Gold Coast. We're talking about her research into autism spectrum disorder. So this kind of brings us to talk about the recent study that you did, looking at the factors that influence the well-being of parents with parents of children with autism. Mm-hmm. So can you discuss how the study was conducted and what some of your main findings were?
Yeah, so a part of what I wanted to do is, so a lot of the research out there on the well-being of parents of children with autism focuses on, not negative factors, but there's less research out there on more positive factors that may influence the well-being of parents of children with autism. And so I wanted to look at it from a more positive psychology perspective. There's a well-known model that's been quite established in the literature, and it's called the AABCX model of adaptation. So it proposes basically that factors such as the child's symptom severity, their challenging behaviours, the parents' any additional life stresses. So, for example, moving houses or having a death in the family, their internal resources such as their parenting self-efficacy, so how they feel about their parenting abilities, their perceptions of the situation. So how do they appraise having a child with autism? How do they think it impacted their family? So the way that they think about it, their coping skills, and also their external resources. So things like social support.
Yeah.
So those things, those factors have been shown to predict outcomes such as parental stress, family quality of life, well-being, depression, anxiety, multiple outcomes. And so I wanted to introduce a novel predictor that hasn't been investigated in this context and within this model, and that was self-compassion. So I wanted to look at self-compassion within this well-established theoretical model, and I wanted to see whether theoretically this new factor will add additional, will explain any more than we already know by those predictors.
Mm.
So what we did is survey pretty much So we ended up getting 140 parents of children aged 6 to 12 years.
Yeah.
So we chose that age is because the period immediately after diagnosis and the period that they transition into like high school are particularly stressful. So we wanted to just focus on that age group in between, that it's there's not additional stresses that or any factors that can kind of confound what we're looking at. So we surveyed 139 parents to be exact, and just question them about all the factors that I've mentioned, so about their child's symptom severity, their challenging behaviors, the way that they think that having a child with autism has impacted them, whether it was a negative impact, or their coping skills, so whether they use avoidance or whether they use more problem-focused coping, or religious coping, and whether they have social support from friends, family, or significant other, whether they have internal resources, so how they feel about their parenting, their confidence about their parenting. And I think that's it, unless I missed one. But and their life stresses. So we had a pretty much a checklist of all these different life events that could happen to someone, and they had to rate it. You know, yes, I've experienced this, and I've experienced this with great distress, or you know, with not very much distress, because you can experience moving, and it depends on how distressing it was for you.
Yeah.
So they got the chance to rate it that way. And so basic, and of course, self-compassion. So self-compassion, just to kind of give you a bit of like a background, is composed of six components that are separated into more positive and negative dimensions. So the positive dimensions include self-kindness, common humanity, so feeling like, you know, whatever you're experiencing is also shared by other people, and mindfulness. So being aware of painful or any experiences that you're having, and just experiencing it, acknowledging it, being aware of it, and being objective about it, and understanding, you know, this is a thought, this is a feeling, it's going to pass, and just really paying attention to it. And then the negative dimensions, which will kind of correspond to the positive ones in a way, but there is research that shows that they should be separated into these two different dimensions. So the negative dimension is composed of over-identification, so like, you know, ruminating and thinking about the issue constantly and obsessively. Isolation, so feeling, you know, that's pretty self-explanatory. And self-judgment, so being very judgmental. So we thought, you know, those things can do correspond to parents. Like some parents may experience this, may experience this, may experience both. So what we found is that on top of these other known factors that I've described originally, we found that they obviously significantly predicted both parental stress and their quality of life. Now, interestingly, we also found that so once we added self-compassion to the model, we found that the positive dimension explained a significant amount of the variance in parents' quality of life, whereas the negative dimension explained a significant amount of the variance in parents' stress. So they both added about 10% to the model separately to each one of those outcomes.
Yeah.
So basically what this means is that the different aspects of self-compassion correspond to different aspects of parents' adaptation.
Okay.
So what does this mean, you know, in terms of the implications? Well, basically, you know, self-compassion is argued to be a modifiable trait. So it is something that can be increased, changed, I guess, through interventions. And so we believe that, you know, interventions we can design and or develop or implement interventions to potentially, you know, reduce parents' stress through addressing those negative components of self-compassion, and then or increase their quality of life through addressing the more positive components of self-compassion, or both.
Yeah.
And those interventions actually have potential to reduce other significant challenges, such as, you know, that are associated with these outcomes, such as, you know, parental stress. It can, you know, potentially influence psychopathology. So if the parents also experience depression or anxiety, as well as improving child outcomes, because parents' stress does tend to also impact the child, their care, their the efficacy of their of the child intervention as well, and their perception of how well the child is going. So it does have lots of different implications if we can tap that in. So basically, it just means that we found, you know, initial evidence for this predictor that's, you know, could be targeted in interventions for parents, and it could be something that could help them better manage their stress. And it does make sense if you think about it theoretically. You know, if you're feeling really isolated, that's going to reduce your quality of life. That's going to, you know, influence your stress. Whereas if you're feeling like you know, that, yes, what I'm experiencing right now, there are other parents that are experiencing like this similar thing that I'm going through, so it's okay. Or being mindful and being aware of these feelings without letting it take over and ruminating over it. Or, you know, being kind to yourself. So, like, you know, just saying, you know, I'm okay, like not judging yourself as a parent. Because I had a follow-up study that I've done. I've actually conducted interviews with parents. So where to kind of go, okay, I want to hear how they speak about self-compassion and these different components broken down, so like self-kindness, mindfulness and all that, in relation to their parenting stress and what they think. And basically, I haven't really analysed the data yet, but just from what I remember from the interviews, it was pretty much consistent that the parents that reported that were saying, you know, well, I can't be kind to myself. Like, because I would ask, for example, you know, do you think that being kind to yourself can help you manage your stress and, you know, help you with your stress? Well, I can't be kind to myself. I find guilt. I feel guilty when I'm kind to myself and when I do something for myself.
Yeah.
Because I feel guilty that, you know, I should spend that time doing something for my child. And that's something that I really am passionate about shifting, because...
Do you think that's a common thing that parents of children with autism experience?
Absolutely. Lots and lots of guilt. Lots of guilt. And when you feel guilty about being good to yourself and kind to yourself, you're not going to be able to do that effectively and benefit from it.
Yeah.
And then you're not going to get the benefits that you'll get from doing that. And I think a big thing, and what I would kind of aim to shift in my future studies, which will be hopefully to implement a self-compassion intervention with parents, is to change parents' thinking, or to shift parents' thinking from thinking I'm a parent of a child with autism, like it's almost like that's their identity, to I'm a person, this is me. And it's okay for me to go and take an hour bath and not feel guilty.
Yeah.
It's okay for me to go out with my friends and leave my child with my husband, you know, it's or with my wife or my partner. It's okay for me to do that. And I shouldn't feel guilty about it. Because, you know, when you do that now, like, do you feel guilty?
No.
No, you don't. If you were to go and take hour bath or do anything like that. So I think it's about just reframing the way that they think almost about the situation, and saying, you know, you are more than just a parent of a child with ASD. Like, you know, when the child got the diagnosis, you didn't get a diagnosis, you know. Okay, you're not diagnosed as a parent of a child with autism, you know. That's not the case. So there's no reason for parents to take on that identity and that label that they don't really need. It's not helpful to them. Well, at least not from what I've seen and from the parents that I've spoken to. So definitely lots of guilt. And then the parents just said, you know what, I actually am, yeah, I find that I, when I am kind to myself, it does help me with, you know, my stress, and it's actually it helps me with modeling that for my children as
So in the long run, it helps.
It helps everyone.
Yeah.
It helps everyone. It helps the child. And once they realize it, so the parents that have realized it, it's actually really beneficial for them. And it's they're the parents that have actually experienced less stress and better quality of life. So I guess the next, and in those interviews, we've also asked them, you know, okay, we're potentially wanting to develop an intervention or some kind of program to help you. You know, what are some of your goals? What are things that, some practical considerations? So like, you know, time of day, like things that people, when they develop interventions, they don't really think about. They're like, I'm just going to develop this intervention and see what happens. It's like, no, we need to consider those things because parents of children with autism are really busy. So we need to be realistic. We need something that's going to help them and going to be logical for them. So that's why we ask those questions. And, you know, some of the goals were things that we wouldn't even think about. Like, they just want to be able to do one thing for themselves in the week. Like, that's a goal that, you know, I'm thinking, oh, we'll reduce your stress, but they just want this one little thing.
Yeah.
So it's so important to just be informed and ask them, what do you want? You know, like, what would you want? Like, because this is for you. This isn't for me. This is for you. And I think that's something that, you know, in research, that's where it needs to head as well, like in terms of just being moving forward towards developing more socially valid interventions, so interventions that people will actually engage in and that they will find use for. There are lots of interventions out there that are great and work fine, but could always be better. But yeah, so that's in a nutshell, I guess. Just a little bit about my research and our findings so far. Yeah.
You're currently listening to Mind Matters on 3CR 855 AM, a one-hour program on all things psychology. We're currently talking to Galbil Hadana from Griffith University on the Gold Coast, talking about her research into autism spectrum disorder. It's time for another little song break, so we're going to be listening to Frank Ocean's Swim Good. Enjoy.
Lincoln Town Car, ain't it? Big enough to take these broken hearts and put them in it. Now I'm driving round on the boulevard, trunk bleeding. And every time the cops pull me over, they don't ever see them, they never see them. And I got this black suit on, rolling around like I'm ready for a funeral. Five more miles till the road runs out. I'm about to drive in the ocean. I'ma try to swim from something bigger than me. Kick off my shoes and swim good, and swim good. Take off this suit and swim good.
Bigger than me. Kick off my shoes. Over 7.5 million people tune into community radio stations around Australia each month. Just like you, they're tuning in to get diversity, alternatives, and to escape from the predictability of mainstream media.
It's good morning from the Concrete Gang.
And we're getting stuck into the Garden Show.
Good afternoon and welcome to Ruminations here on 3CR.
Welcome to another edition of Great Voices, 3CR's classical vocal program.
Good morning and welcome to the Latin American Update program,
8:55 a.m.
Every day, 3CR brings you current affairs, local music, gig guides, activist information and community views and voices. Make sure you join us. Call 9419 8377.
Favela não é hotel, vida não é novela. Qual é a graça, desgraça, que há no riso do Banguela?
Truth is stranger than fiction. And this is the proof. Believe it or not.
3CR is run by over 400 volunteers and many more listener subscribers who, like you, strongly believe in the principles of community broadcasting. You can become a subscriber right now. Ring us on 9419 8377. Or go to www.3cr.org.au.
Believe it or not.
The song you were just listening to was Swim Good by Frank Ocean. You're back listening to Mind Matters on 3CR 8:55 a.m. And we are currently talking to Galbo Hadana on autism spectrum disorder. What would some of these intervention strategies look like?
I would say lots of, action things. Mm. So, we're not entirely sure what we're going to do yet because I'm still looking at the transcripts, the interview transcripts, and still analysing that and kind of going through what are some common themes that are coming up that we need to address.
Yeah.
But it would follow pretty standard self-compassion intervention with the addition of what parents have mentioned. We are hoping to get parents, some parents that are coping or are managing a little bit easier to act as role models for other
and
parents,
share
their experiences, share their experiences and what has happened for them, what has helped them, what didn't help them, and just kind of get them involved that way. Some education, some of the things that they wanted more information on, and also that things that have caused them stress is, NDIS. So once the child gets diagnosed, they're eligible for some funding.
Mm-hmm.
So just being able to navigate, okay, what do I do with this funding? Because a lot of parents would think, am I doing the right thing? Investing in this or investing in that. So a lot more, they need more guidance on that. So potentially a component on that as well. They want information on, what's going to happen when my child hits puberty and, they're nonverbal and how do I handle that?
Mm.
Things that are more, okay, child, but my child's going to grow up. What are some things or some store experiences of other parents that can help me better understand what to expect in the future as well when my child's an adult at the same time. It will be lots of doing things for yourself, for the parent, being able to put them first, lots of mindfulness exercises, some, I don't like to call it homework, but just things, okay, you need to go home and you need to make sure that this week you do those three things for yourself.
Yeah.
So more practical things, but manageable things, because we don't want anyone to fail.
Yeah.
We don't want to set too high expectations and too many things and then have people fail and potentially, get even worse. So it's just going to be a lot of thinking in the development and really taking into account parents' responses from the initial study and also from the interviews that that we've conducted and taking everything into account to really create something that will work for them and that will be beneficial for them. Because we've also asked parents, how are you coping now? Like, what are some strategies that you use to cope? And it could be adaptive coping strategies or like maladaptive. So some parents would say, yep, I drink, like, you know, straight up.
Mm.
But whereas other parents, you know, would say, yeah, I'll just, you know, sit in my room, just watch like just a brainless TV show, or I'll take, you know, a really long bath. Like, I'll make sure that I do that. Or I'll go out for, you know, coffee once a week with a friend.
Mm.
So we found that the parents that were coping, you know, better were the ones that did take the time to do those things for themselves and did not feel guilty about it.
Yeah.
Because there's no point in you doing those things if you're going to feel like crap
overcome
afterwards.
Overcome the guilt, yeah.
Exactly. So it's about managing both of those things and you know, being able to do something for yourself, but at the same time being able to fully commit to it and not linger, not having anything, any guilt or any negative feelings lingering behind it.
Because
It's almost like eating like a whole cake and then feeling like really bad about it. It's like, yeah, I enjoyed it, but I feel really bad about it. So what was the point of doing that? You know, what was the point? So we want to make sure that we do create those more manageable, more, you know, logical kind of suitable, like a suitable program that will be effective and not destructive.
And it's realistic as well.
Like, realistic is the word I was looking for. Yes. Yeah. Realistic, something that's realistic. Not like, okay, yeah, you need to go on a holiday for 2 weeks. Like
no. A busy parent is going to look at that and be like, well, yeah,
okay. I wish. Yeah, all right. Like, sure. No, like that's not going to happen. So, well, it might, but it's not something that's realistic for a lot of parents.
Yeah.
So it's just about creating realistic expectations of yourself, I think, and putting yourself first at times as well, because at the end of the day, if you're not your best, you can't be the best parent that you can be for your child anyway. And your stress does impact the child, and parents do need to realize that it can actually impact the effectiveness of your child's intervention that you're spending all this money on. It's like, so you need to take care of yourself before you can take care of someone else. It's like on the plane, you know, when they say you need to put on the mask first before you help anyone else. It's that same kind of concept. You need to, you know, be the best that you can be to be the best parent or any other thing that you can be.
And I think thinking about it in those terms would help parents put themselves first.
It would, because
knowing that it's for, they're
exactly
doing it for the kid.
And I think that would help them. It's like, actually, no, like, I'm doing this, that'll make me happier, which will make my child happier. I'll have more patience for my child. I'll have more, you know, more strength, more, you know, energy, more, you know, I'll feel better. So I could, and it's also what a lot of parents that were managing really well were saying, well, I want to set that example for my kids. I don't want them to see me stressed and not doing anything for myself. I want them to see that it's okay to take some time and do something nice for yourself, that it's okay to do that and to take that time. And a lot of parents, that's what the ones that were managing really well and didn't feel guilty, they would think about it like that. So it's almost about shifting the way those other parents that are more stressed and are feeling a bit more guilty. It's about, you know, kind of trying to reframe their thinking. And that's why I think having parents that are managing well kind of be, you know, act as facilitators would really help, because it would be better coming from me. Okay, well, you don't have any kids. You don't, you know. This is a parent of a child with autism.
Yeah.
With similar symptoms to your child, and you know, you can listen to them, you know, and they've gone through a similar process, and this is how they're managing it. So it's a choice. It's a choice that parents need to make, and it's a commitment as well. It's a commitment to themselves, I think, is the way to look at it. Yeah.
We'll be back after this short song break to continue the conversation with Gal on Mind Matters 3CR 855 AM. This is Mac Miller, 2009.
Take a breath and ease my mind. She don't cry no more. She tell me that I get her high, cause the angel's supposed to fly. I ain't asking why no more. Oh no, I take it if it's mine. I don't stay inside the lines. It ain't 2009 no more. Yeah, I know what's behind that door. Yeah, okay, you gotta jump in to swim. Well, the light was dim and this life was sin. Now every day I wake up and breathe. I don't have it all, but that's alright with me. Take it nice and easy, took a flight to see me. Send you back home with a light that's beaming. The whole team about to figure it out. We ice cold, that's what winter about. And sometimes, sometimes, I wish I took a simpler route. Instead of having demons that's as big as my house. Have a ball with a dribble and bounce. Cause the party ain't over till they kicking me out. Yeah, isn't it funny? We can make a lot of money, buy a lot of things just to feel a lot of ugly. I was yay high and muddy, looking for what was looking for me. But I don't need to lie no more. Nowadays all I do is shine. Take a breath and ease my mind. She don't cry no more. Tell me that I get her high, cause the angel's supposed to fly. I ain't asking why no more. Oh no, I take it if it's mine. I don't stay inside the lines. It ain't 2009 no more. Yeah, I know what's behind that door. Yeah, they ask me what I'm smiling for. Well, because I never been this high before. It's like I never felt alive before. I'd rather have me peace of mind than war. You see me and you, we ain't that different. I struck the fuck out and then I came back swinging. Take my time to finish, mind my business. A life ain't a life till you live it. I was digging me a hole, big enough to bury my soul. Weight of the world, I gotta carry my own. With these arms, I can carry you home. I'm right here when you scared and alone. And I ain't never in a hurry. You don't never gotta worry. Even when it's 7:30 and the time is running low. When your heart get cold, see what's behind all them unturned stones. And I'm a pro when it come to my job. But really I'm just trying to start believing in God. Now when it gets hard, I don't panic, I don't sound the alarm. Because I don't need to lie no more. Nowadays all I do is shine. Take a breath and ease my mind. She don't cry no more. She tell me that I get her high, cause the angel's supposed to fly. I ain't asking why no more. Oh no, I take it if it's mine. I don't stay inside the lines. It ain't 2009 no more. Yeah, I know what's behind that door. I don't need to lie no more. Nowadays all I do is shine. Take a breath and ease my mind. She don't cry no more. She tell me that I get her high, cause the angel's supposed to fly. I ain't asking why no more. Oh no, I take it if it's mine. I don't stay inside the lines. It ain't 2009 no more. Yeah, I know what's behind that door.
So obvious to me that if you live in a completely violent cultural milieu, that it's going to translate into every aspect of women's lives.
Accent to women.
What's a border? They don't see it like a big wall right along the
How can
country.
People live ordinary lives when they're living in such an extraordinary situation where there are two, where there are armies there and terrorists there and such conflict every single day of their lives?
Accent to women.
A show by and about women from culturally and linguistically diverse backgrounds.
You are back on Main Matters, 3CR 855 AM. We're currently talking to Galbil Hadana on autism spectrum disorder. Where do you think future research about autism is heading? Is it more down this route, like self-compassion? And
I think there's a lot more. Self-compassion is quite like a new concept, but it is getting a lot of attention in other populations. There's only been a couple of studies that looked at self-compassion in parents of children with autism specifically, all found very positive things. So like one study found that it's actually protective against the stigma that parents experience.
Ah.
So if you look at a child with ASD, not obviously don't generalize everything I'm saying. I'm saying generally they can appear typical in the way that they look, like a neurotypical child. But then their behavior, sometimes it's different. So parents often feel judged and they looked upon as, you know, bad parents, and they experience that stigma from other people that don't know the situation. And so self-compassion has actually been found to be protective against that stigma and acted as a buffer between stigma and psychological distress, in that parents that had more self-compassion, that association between the stigma and the distress that it caused, it was lower. So they experienced that stigma with less distress. It also has been found to lead to better life satisfaction and better well-being altogether, and has actually been found to be a stronger predictor of parent stress than the child's symptoms.
Mm.
So I think self-compassion research in this population is definitely needed, because, you know, there can never be enough things that we can try and do to help people and parents that are experiencing stress. And I think it's almost like everyone's responsibility to just help whoever you can to just create a better environment for everyone and a better system, I suppose. And so I think research definitely is heading in obviously multiple directions at the same time, but I do see research in self-compassion and mindfulness and that, and positive psychology increasing rapidly in the future, and that's definitely something that I'm interested in, but also trying to understand autism on a more neurological and medical level as well. There's lots of, you know, research, I'm sure, in the future, trying to understand what it is, what's, you know, causing it, what is, like, what's the, you know, the mechanisms, the internal mechanisms that are happening, as well as psychological mechanisms as well. Yeah.
Well, thank you for sharing your findings of your study, and I'm excited to see where it continues to go.
Yeah, I'm excited, and thank you for having me. It was really nice to have a chat. Spoke a bit too much, I think.
Yeah, but it's all interesting still.
Yeah. But yeah, thank you for having me.
Thank you. Thank you for tuning into tonight's episode of Mind Matters on 3CR 855 AM. Join us next Monday from 6 PM to 7 PM for more chats on all things psychology.
Like some food for thought?
Tune in to Radical Philosophy
with discussions on freedom,
happiness,
knowledge,
evil,
and rational argument.
With words from
Midgley,
Caputi,
Adams,
Stewart,
Wolf,
and Hagengruber.
Let's get radical about philosophy.
We're talking about ecological thinning and subsidised longing, but we basically mean the same things, don't we, here?
Wherever there are chemical corporations around the world, they're constantly trying to chip away at regulations.
Earth Matters, bringing you environmental and social justice stories, from developments in government and industry to the campaigns and communities that are standing up to them. Earth Matters plays at 11 AM Sunday and 6:30 AM Wednesday. Turn your dial to 855 AM or listen online at 3cr.org.au.
While the headlines have subsided, the nuclear power plant is still not under control, with the spent fuel rods removed from only one out of four reactors.
Law needs to change so that our rights can be recognised, so that decisions in relation to the use and exploitation of our lands is ours.
My friends are gone and my hair is grey. I ache in the places where I used to play. And I'm crazy for love, but I'm not coming home. I'm just paying my rent every day in the Tower of Song. I said to Hank Williams, how lonely does it get? Hank Williams hasn't answered yet, but I hear him coughing.